On December 15th, a bipartisan group of 39 lawmakers wrote a letter to the State and Treasury Departments calling on the Biden administration to allow international financial institutions to inject the necessary economic capital into Afghanistan while avoiding the transfer of money to the Taliban-led government and designated private Afghan or third country bank as a central bank. The lawmakers also recommended, among other things, the release of the $9.5 billion of Afghan assets, but only if sent to an appropriate United Nations agency and only if used to pay teacher salaries and provide meals to children in schools, so long as girls can continue to attend. On December 20th, a group of 46 lawmakers led by the House Progressives wrote a letter to Biden, explicitly linking the U.S. confiscation of $9.4 billion of Afghan assets to contributing to soaring inflation and plunging the country deeper into economic and humanitarian crisis. Although the House Progressives struck a harsher tone, they made the same request as the December 19th letter, urging Biden to allow Afghanistan's central bank to access its reserves, consistent with proposals by current and former Afghan Central Bank officials appointed by a U.S.-supported government and supported by private sector associations such as the Afghan Chamber of Commerce and Investment and the Afghanistan Banks Association. This congressional pushback, tepid as it is, also reflects an inherent tension in the U.S. use of sanctions. While economic warfare is a necessary tool of U.S. foreign policy, sanctions are not always good for business in the short term. Afghanistan had been a source of wealth for the imperialist bourgeois for the past two decades. And now, certain sectors of the capitalist class apparently want back in. Still, the Biden administration has shown no sign of easing the sanctions. In fact, the Biden administration is considering permanently depriving the Afghan people of the funds needed to combat the current humanitarian crisis by transferring those funds instead to U.S. plaintiffs with outstanding default judgments against the Taliban. Although his formal statement is not due until January 18, 2022, the Biden administration seems willing to go along with the plan. The only apparent obstacle is how to seize the Afghan funds without recognizing the Taliban as the legitimate Afghan government. Press Secretary Jen Psaki has twice cited that ongoing litigation as the primary reason for maintaining the asset freeze. Following its imperial playbook, the U.S. sanctions imposed on Afghanistan are aimed at destabilizing Afghan civil society, making daily life so unbearable that the Afghan people eventually blame the Taliban for their misery, providing the United States and its proxies an opening to enact regime change.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Mr. Masumi, I'm so glad to have you here with me as always, Alhamdulillah.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته It's my pleasure. I truly admire and...
Alhamdulillah.
I get so many benefits from this discussion, truly.
Same here. So today, we love to discuss about this very, very confusing question, which always bothering us, that if Allah has created both men and a woman from the same soul, min nafsin wahida, so why our duties are different, you know, like in so many areas in our practical life, we see lots of, you know, differences.
Definitely, this is a very, very important and, you know, yeah, when we talk about the equality in Islam and in the viewpoint of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt, so why we see there's difference physically, mentally, and... So its answer is clear. You know, all our prophets and our Aima alayhimussalam, they have clearly said that no matter, you know, whatever role is given to you, if you play that role, it means you are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like I gave you the example of a man who divides his inheritance between, you know, his sons differently. For one son he gives more, for another son he gives less. But in the eyes of his sons, he has done equally perfect.
Okay, so, divided. The core,
the basic things, the roots.
Yeah. Is to fulfill our duty
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. Like, for example, if men go to jihad, how much reward they get? They get so much reward. Even they say, you know, if you died while doing jihad, so you would be buried with the same cloth.
Yes, yes,
with
definitely.
The same bloody cloth. And you will go directly to Jannah, not only yourself, you can do shafa'ah to so many of your relatives and friends.
Yeah, intercession.
This much intercession you can do. Likewise, a woman, if she is at home and she is doing house chores with the niyat of the taqarrub of Allah, the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fulfill the ahkam of Allah, the rules of Allah, she gets the same reward. This is amazing.
Yes.
You know, this is, I say, even it is easy for women to achieve the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without much struggling. in the eyes
every
of Allah.
Day, every day struggle.
Yeah, every day. Every day you are getting the reward of Shahada.
Yeah, because men,
men only can get in few circumstances, they can get this chance.
Yeah.
Nowadays, unfortunately, we are in the time of Ghaiba Kubara. We don't have this opportunity. And women have every day and always they have this opportunity. So the main theme and the main thing is to fulfill the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the main our purpose of life. So we are going to have a short break. Please, listeners, stay tuned. Inshallah, we will come back soon.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
I was reading in the book of Shaheed Mutahhari, a great scholar, that he says the true definition of human being, mankind, is according to mantiq and logic, is that who's insan, who's human being? Haywanun natiq, yeah? An animal who can think, who can talk by thinking. Like, natiq means the one who can...
ability to talk.
To talk with so much wisdom, like to take that conclusion about kulliyat. You know, kulliyat means you can reach to that level that you say, if few people can do this, so that means the majority, you know, the, this kind of creation all can do that kind of, you know, a task. So that is the meaning of
talking in a very proper being. Way. Consists of two things, yeah?
Exactly.
One is, for example, he's an animal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can live, he is a living thing.
Exactly.
And the second thing is he can speak,
yeah.
He can talk, he can think.
Exactly.
So these two things are...
the essence of human being,
the
root of the human being. Actual human being. But now when it comes about the color, about the height... about that, how he talks, like the voice, you know, quality of voice, and how he walks. One is very fast, one is very slow. Maybe one cannot even walk, but it doesn't mean that person is not a human being. So for having this title of human being, that I'm a human, I need to be haywan and natiq. That's it. And what do you think? Woman, she has this two, you know, essence in her life. Definitely, she's haywan because she can,
definitely.
You know, she's a living thing, and natiq.
Arabic terminology, we call it dhati and aradhi. Dhati means the things which are in our nature.
Exactly.
Without those things, we do not exist. Those things are called dhati. The other qualities which are not very important for our humanity.
Something added. You
yeah,
know, like,
added.
Yeah.
They are aradhi. So Shaheed Mutahhari says, in humanity, in our dhatiyat, the core things, the things which...
Because of those things,
we are exist. These are common, you know, between men and women. They are human, they are natiq, they have this ability to talk and think. So the other added qualities, for example, as you said, our height, our color, you know, our different qualities, these are aradhi, aradhi.
So here, what is aradhi as a man and woman?
Yeah, means because women definitely they have less power compared to men. Some things they can't do, for example, heavy things or for example, fighting.
Physical things. She's a bit weaker than men. Yeah,
in some sense.
So that is something aridhi.
Aridhi, yeah.
Part of her essence. Okay.
Essence.
So what about the duties then? how we can connect this with our duties. Like, my duty is different from you, you know, in so many areas.
The main duty which is common between, you know, men and women, and that is the very important thing, is the seeking the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolutely, yeah.
And this duty, there is no difference between men and women.
How to get close?
Yeah, the way of, you know, fulfilling this duty is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Women, they have special way, you know, they have special rules and they have special things to do to achieve this closeness, nearness
of Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Men
has a special battlefield. He has to go physically and fight with enemies. And women have different battlefield. They have to fight with, you know, their, we can say, nafs, yeah, because she has, if she's doing house chores and serving her husband and children, that is her battlefield. And she will get the same reward as a shaheed. In the main quality, main duty, that both have same duties. There's no difference.
There's an ayat in Quran in which Allah says, don't compare yourself with others. Don't have this longing and desires that I wish I could have that post which Allah has given to that person. Yeah. So because we are comparing ourselves with others, that is something not logical, because every person, even between men, you can see what, some men has more, you know, power or some abilities compared to other men. So how come, like, if even between men, we are not allowed to compare, you know, whatever Allah has given, the ability, the talents, you know, the skills. So those are different. Like, whatever skills I have to be in my own area, and I should try my best to get closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And I love to add here, you know, I think most of the women, they have this question that, you know, salah, namaz is the pillar of religion. So how come this pillar has taken away from women every month in her cycles? Yeah, that is the big question mark, that why this pillar has taken away from me. The answer is that, yeah, because of a big reason, you know, like most of the, like majority of women, if they don't see the cycles, they cannot be a mother, you know. So, the main reason, one of the reason, is that you want to be mother. So you need that kind of physical, some changes and cycle in your life. And because of that, Allah is recovering you. Allah is giving you so much reward. Like, you're not lacking in any area of closeness to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One day, spending your day in a period, in a hayz, in Quran, Allah has mentioned the word hayz, for one day is equal to 1 year ibadah. You know, like, you are not worshipping, but you are getting the sawab of worshipping. And there are so many other beautiful virtues and reward of this monthly cycle, which inshallah we are going to discuss in our next episode, because this topic is also very practical and very interesting.
Definitely. I myself have benefited from this beautiful discussion. And I hope our dear listeners also, they are benefiting. And there are so many things to talk and share with our dear
Inshallah. I'm just thanking to my beautiful listeners that because of you, we can have this amazing ibadat. This discussion is a beautiful way of tasbih and amazing way of getting closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Thank you so much for being with us. Inshallah, we are going to meet you very soon.
So until next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Salam, and let us ponder on what the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, has quoted from his cousin, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, on the rules of fasting. Whoever fasts during the month of Ramadan out of faith and seeking Allah's pleasure and guards his ears, eyes, and tongue from harming people, Allah will accept his fasting and forgive his past sins.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
With neon lights on the floor and walls, pulsing electronic beats, and a glowing red shuttlecock bouncing back and forth, Malaysian badminton court evokes a sci-fi movie set. Shuttle in the Dark is a badminton hall in the iconic Petronas Twin Towers in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It was set up in late 2021 by a sport management company to encourage people to take up the racket sport after 2 years of social restrictions because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Director of INIC Sport Management says the initial goal was to draw sports fans and players back into action.
Our initial goal was, how can we encourage and gain back the interest of people to come back and play? And not only those enthusiasts, but then as well the new people who was not able to or never play badminton before. So that's why we come out with this experience called Shuttle in the Dark.
Playing on a futuristic court presents an unusual challenge for athletes as they have to adjust their eyes to the darkness to play. Badminton is one of the most popular sports in Malaysia and Asia, with a thriving community in the Southeast Asian community. It has produced some of the world's top-ranked players. A zoo in Ireland's capital, Dublin, has unveiled its newest habitat called the Himalayan Hills, a brand new home of the red panda and the snow leopard. Visitors are able to see the red panda's habitat by traveling along the new trail around a rocky edge to an open viewing area. The red pandas are typically climbing, exploring, or munching on bamboo at the top of broad-leafed evergreen trees. The expanded habitat was designed with a red panda's tree-dwelling lifestyle in mind. Also, visitors can gaze up at the 15-meter rocky slope through an impressive panoramic viewing area to spot the snow leopards. These elusive felines are typically nocturnal, so catching a glimpse of one is a rare treat.
Yeah, the animals are settling in well. We've tried to recreate the wild habitat in the Himalayan hills. Both species live quite high up. In case of the snow leopards, up to 5,000 meters on these very steep rocky slopes, which you can see here in the habitat as well. We've tried to use the topology of Dublin Zoo.
The project took a few years to complete. It was halted in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic and massive budget shortages, but was restarted after government funding in 2021. The zoo is part of a protection project for red pandas and snow leopards. These animals are listed as vulnerable due to threats from poaching and severe habitat loss. Ancient Pompeii has a new guardian, Spot, a four-legged robot dog that will inspect the ancient Italian city's streets and tunnels to identify structural issues. The robot, designed by the U.S. firm Boston Dynamics, will patrol Pompeii at nighttime. The robot inspects the smallest of spaces and gathers data for planning interventions to fix safety and structural issues. Equipped with a 360-degree camera, Spot will also protect the city's streets from illegal relic hunters who cause structural damage to the ruins by digging tunnels. Pompeii will also have its own eye in the sky, a Leica BLK-2 flying laser scanner capable of autonomously conducting 3D scans of the ruins, helping Spot carry out its tasks. Safeguarding ancient sites from treasure hunters has always been a problem for every country, especially the ancient ones.
A super rare bird has added a cute member to critically endangered Sumatran rhinos of Indonesia. The newborn calf is the sixth born since intensive efforts to breed the species began in the 1980s. The female calf, which doesn't have a name yet, was given birth to by a rhino named Rosa in a sanctuary. Rosa has suffered 8 miscarriages since 2005 when she was brought in from the wild for a breeding program. Fewer than 80 Sumatran rhinos remain in the world, mainly on the Indonesian islands of Sumatra and Borneo. Excessive poaching, along with other threats, has brought the species to the brink of extinction. The cherry blossom or sakura season in the Japanese capital is a magical experience as trees burst into bloom, dousing the streets with stunning shades of pink. This year, people are enjoying the occasion to the fullest as COVID restrictions are no more there. Thousands gathered in central Tokyo wearing masks, taking pictures and posing for selfies among the trees. Cherry flowers reach full bloom on Sunday, 4 days earlier than usual, according to the Japan Meteorological Agency. The age-old tradition of viewing cherry blossoms typically takes place across the country. The flowers are a national obsession. People flock to parks to hold parties and picnics. However, due to the pandemic, authorities have asked people to refrain from eating and drinking outdoors.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Millions of people across the world celebrate Earth Hour, a symbolic Lights Out event that aims to call attention to environmental issues and the necessity of protecting the planet. The annual event encourages people to turn off their non-essential lighting for an hour and take a break from using electronic devices during that period. Earth Hour takes place every year on the last Saturday of March. The theme of this year's event is Shape Our Future and has been celebrated in more than 180 countries, including Greece, France, Thailand, and Iran. The initiative was first introduced in 2007 by the World Wildlife Fund as a grassroots movement for highlighting the collective responsibility of the people towards their environment. An ancient place in Guatemala with special significance for the Mayan culture could be the next entry on the World Heritage List. The historic village known today as the Takalik Abach Archaeological Park was occupied for 1,700 years before it was abandoned and discovered in 1888. It's said to have been home to a pre-Hispanic people. Archaeologists found their way to this mysterious piece of land where they found a series of exotic artifacts and sculptures back in 2008. Guatemala's Minister of Cultural Heritage says this site has a sacred place in the nation's culture.
Takalik Abach is a sacred place with important links to Guatemala's culture. It's a place that harbors flora and fauna biodiversity and even Mayan spirituality and war is wild. This makes this place highly important within the Mayan culture in Guatemala.
Archaeologists believe the monuments go back to the deep-rooted civilizations of Olmec and Maya in a Central American culture around 400 BC. The government has presented the site to UNESCO, hoping it will be declared a World Heritage Site. A Belgian-British teenager is on a solo flight around the globe that could make him a world record holder. Mark Rutherford started his journey from a small airfield near the Bulgarian capital Sofia on Wednesday. His first destination is the island of Sicily in Italy. From there, he'll fly south to Africa and then around the globe to cross the finish line again in Bulgaria. The 16-year-old pilot says he got his inspiration from his sister.
Egypt's rich history seems to be a gift
that keeps on giving. The country has unveiled some exquisite newly discovered tombs. The pharaonic tombs were found at the Saqqara archaeological site south of Cairo. The site is a big necropolis of Memphis, an ancient capital of Egypt. The graves belonged to a senior royal official, or rather senior royal officials. Some of the graves are engraved with interesting titles such as Steward of the Royal House and Supervisor of the Garden. The tombs are around 4,000 years old, dating back to the Old Kingdom of Egypt.
Iranian families celebrated the ancient tradition of Sizde Bedar, or Nature's Day, by spending some quality time outdoors with family. Yusuf Jalali has a story.
It's Nature's Day in Iran, and parks and countrysides are flooded with families who never miss the chance to spend the final day of Nowruz holidays out with their loved ones. The ancient occasion is called Sizde Bedar. Over the past 2 years, the festival was called off amid the coronavirus pandemic, and it's the first time in 2 years that Sizde Bedar is marked with such a huge crowd.
Because of the coronavirus, people could not go out on Sizde Bedar for 2 years in a row. And this year, the majority are vaccinated and green spaces are jam-packed with picnic goers.
We Iranians have grown up with Sizde Bedar and we never miss it. Thank God we can safely enjoy this amazing tradition this year with all our family members and relatives.
Sizde Bedar means getting rid of number 13. In Persian mythology, 13 is the bad luck number. Now Sizde Bedar is believed to chase away the bad luck and bring good vibes.
Today, we cooked special foods like ash and chicken kebab to eat them for lunch with our family members. We traditionally believe that this day brings bad luck and we must spend it outdoors with joy to get rid of it.
The event is also called the Festival of Nature, and it is an occasion to raise awareness of the need to preserve the environment.
Throughout the history, Iranians have had close relationship with nature, and that's why we have dedicated a special day in our calendar to nature. Before we leave our place here, we clean the environment.
Sizde Bedar is the final day of the two-week celebrations of the Persian New Year, known as Nowruz, which marks the beginning of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. The tradition has been celebrated for some 3,000 years in Iran, Tajikistan, and Afghanistan, among other communities. Everyone must have missed outdoor gatherings after more than 2 years of COVID restrictions. Now that worries over the pandemic have eased to some extent, Sizde Bedar once again reunited Iranians with Mother Nature, with all the good vibes and hope for a world free of the coronavirus. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the benefits of fasting.
الصوم أوشك يبتدي رمضان يا ضيف الورى قد زرتنا في الموعد كنا على جمر الغضا من واله ومفند رمضان يا ضيفا أتى يجلو لنا القلب الصدي.
Today, Wednesday, is the 4th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar.
corresponding to the 17th of the month of Farvardin, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we bless this moment by recitation of chapter Ar-Rahman, verses 1 to 6. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Ar-Rahman.
The most merciful.
'Allama al-Qur'an.
Taught the Quran.
Khalaqal insan.
Created man.
'Allamahu al-bayan.
And taught him eloquence.
الشمس والقمر بحسبان.
The sun and the moon move by precise calculation.
والنجم والشجر يسجدان.
And the stars and trees prostrate.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The existence of the sun is one of the greatest divine blessings bestowed upon man, since life would be unimaginable in the solar system without the light and heat of the sun. Any motion on the earth springs from the solar light and heat. Growth of plants and production of provision, precipitation and blowing of winds are all thanks to this divine blessing. The moon, in its turn, plays a key role in human life. It is the light of his dark nights. Its gravity is the source of ebb and flow in oceans, resulting in life in seas and watering of rivers flowing onto seas. Besides the fixed course of the twain circulations, that of the moon around the earth and that of the earth around the sun results in the orderly emergence of nights and days.
أشهر الرحمن فيك أنزل القرآن.
And the continuation of today's special, we go straight to our topic, that is the benefits of fasting. Yes, fasting is an obligation in Islam, not an option, but it is one of the five pillars on which Islam is built. The benefits of fasting are manifold. Fasting has personal, social, hygienic, and best of all, spiritual benefits. Hisham ibn Hakam asked Imam As-Sadiq, peace be upon him, about the reasons because of which fasting has been made obligatory. The Imam replied, "Verily, Allah made fasting obligatory in order to equalize between the poor and the rich. Surely the rich would not otherwise feel the pain of hunger. To be kind to the poor, for the rich will reach anything they wish. Thus the Almighty Allah will to equalize between his servants and to give a taste of the pain of hunger to the rich, so that he becomes more lenient to the weak people and be more merciful towards the hungry ones." Although fasting has some social benefits, this is not the main purpose of fasting. Thus, fasting is obligatory both on the poor and the rich. The main purpose of fasting is to gain self-restraint. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the raison d'etre and the philosophy and benefits of fasting. We find that, fasting, apparently finds expression in not eating or drinking, it has several personal and social benefits. Personal benefits because, everybody who observes fasting receives a more inclination to be attentive to the religious piety and religious jobs, such as, for example, performing Salat on time or reciting the Holy Quran and so on. At the same time, we find that there are some psychological and physical and social benefits available out of mandatory fasting. In the month of Ramadan, we find that, quite a considerably less number of crimes take place. This is because, according to a piece of research, in other times of the year, in other, months of the year, we find that people are under the influence of hunger or thirst, or, for example, under the influence of excessive eating or excessive drinking, and under the influence of the carnal desires and so on. However, those people who observe religious fasting throughout the month of Ramadan are less subject to receiving these temptations, satanic temptations. At the same time, we find that those people who endure thirst and hunger, they consider, they are more subject to experiencing and considering the thirst and the hunger of those people who are starving with, famine or, for example, other natural disasters, or they are going to be on a par with those people who don't have enough money to provide themselves with adequate food and drinkings. We find that in fasting in daytime, right from the moment we start fasting and we are abandoned to, we are prohibited from, eating, drinking, and doing certain jobs, we find that we are going to sense the hardships other people endure. And because of this, it makes us consider and experience the real situations other people experience throughout the year in other months. Thank you.
Ramadan, ya Ramadan, ya nafhat al-Rahman. رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
Now we reach to unique characteristics of fasting. One of the characteristics of fasting is worshiping Allah without any action. Take the example of daily prayers. It is the combination of some recitation of the Holy Quran, some dhikr in different postures. The same applies to Hajj, Zakat, and etc. Fasting is the only of worshipping that consists of some non-doings. Fasting is avoidance of drinking and eating, the sincerest worshipping. That is the other characteristics of fasting. The best worshipping is the most secret of all. All other types of worshipping
are prone to show off. Salat is meant to be offered in a group and hence can be easily void. Pilgrimage to Hajj is even more prone to showing off. Fasting, however, is the only worshipping of Allah that none other than Allah would really know if you are fasting. You are with today's special on IRIB English Radio. And now, on the continuation of this program, we'll look at the rewards of fasting. Fasting is one of the most sincere worshipping of Allah, and hence its rewards are numerous. It is narrated from the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace and salutations of Allah be upon him and his family. The Almighty Allah says, "For every good deed, there are 10 to 700 times rewards, save fasting. For fasting is for me, and I am the reward of it." Surely, what else would a faster wish for after having Allah as his reward? And what would he have should be deprived of the presence of Allah? It is to this effect that Messenger of Allah reported to have said, "Only if you know what you may gain in the month of Ramadan, you would have remembered Allah much thankfully."
This year, you have a new opportunity to make yourself a better person than you were last year. This year, a new door is open, a fresh page is open for you, during the month of Ramadan especially. The month of Ramadan is a month of self-purification, a month of self-improvement. We do that with our body. You know, when you don't eat, this is good for the body sometimes. Sometimes you need to give your stomach a break. So it's good. Although I know some people, they give their stomach a break during the day, but at night they take revenge on their stomach and they go and they start eating everything else that I know they were craving throughout the whole day. So the month of Ramadan, it's good for the bodies. Sumu tasahhu, this is the hadith. Fast and you will become healthy. And second, and perhaps most importantly, is that during the month of Ramadan, this is the time to purify our souls. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are two surahs that we recite on the day of Eid. Surah Al-A'la and Surah Al-Shams. And both of these surahs, they talk about تَسْكِيَةُ النَّفْس, self-purification. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى in one. And the other one, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The ones who are successful during the month of Ramadan are the ones who have purified their souls. The ones who have purified their hearts and their souls. The ones who have taken away all of the hate, any grudges in their heart. That is the form, that is the way of self-purification. And we do that throughout the month of Ramadan.
Inshallah, we continue and we speak more about this topic that is about the month of Allah. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Ramadan, Ramadan, li wasalika ya Ramadan.
الفرام ومجالسة القرآن. ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن. نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان. نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان. ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.